Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 296. We are really... we can smell 300 at this point. And with me to celebrate this spectacular bouquet is Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
I'm feeling pretty good. We're heading on quite a milestone. We're pretty excited to be a part of it.
Well, you know, just not that long ago, you were in attendance for what might have been the best WrestleMania ever.
Indeed, I was.
We are not more than 2 weeks removed from said event. And, well, Raw just didn't feel all that special this week.
It was a resting show, because I think the wrestlers worked hard, but the writers did not. I think they treated there's somewhat of a malaise now as we get past WrestleMania, and next week is the European tour, which is those TVs are typically very wrestling heavy, not great on the story front either. So yeah, that's kind of what we've got here is a, you know, unfortunately maybe post WrestleMania doldrums setting in when we really didn't have a great run of shows during Mania season.
Yeah, that is a point that could easily be forgotten, honestly, in this whole thing, is that a lot of people did not like the build-up to WrestleMania itself. We both agreed that we thought that the card looked pretty good, and that's the way it seemed to have turned out.
I think Extreme Rules is going to be probably will end up being a very good show as well. Because when you get these dang writers out of the way and you just give the wrestlers their time, it's usually very good.
You know, it was kind of funny because the one thing that I didn't get a chance to do, because I did not correct my almost live and definitely half-assed review of Raw, is I was actually ready to compliment the writers, at least in one manner on the show. And that was the fact that they realized that Seth Rollins was going to win the title at WrestleMania. So, hence the reason for Randy Orton's, you know, be friends with them. I would think that that is one of the reasons. Because now Orton's got to jump through the hoops.
Right.
That he would have then.
Yeah, I do see that, but I guess we're going to skip all the way through. Well, really, Raw was the main event angle throughout the whole show, but... I think of dozens of ways to have gotten Randy Orton into that spot without having those three guys wrestle twice, without having Roman Reigns fail again, without setting Roman Reigns on a course to feud with the Big Show an hour after he already beat the Big Show clean.
Yeah, well, I didn't really mean to go there right away, but that was just the first thing I thought of.
I was not enamored with almost any of the creative. I mean, yeah, yes, they had to get to Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins in a logical manner, but. I just didn't like the way they went about it at all. I don't even know how Ryback had a claim on a title shot.
Yeah, I would say I was surprised that he is in that area, at least in the WWE's eyes, just because they've kind of let him stall out. But this is the season to have somebody start to climb up the card. Because sometimes they're like, you know what, we can't quite fit you into a good spot at WrestleMania, but right after WrestleMania, we'll get shit started for you. And it could be the beginning of that for Ryback. I have no idea.
Yeah, you know? I think, I mean they're obviously pushing him to something right now. Maybe at Extreme Rules, him and Roman Reigns are going to team up against Kane and the Big Show. Oh my god.
Yep.
Oh, my head hurts.
Yep, that pay-per-view already looks good with the match that you are suggesting.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. I said it looks good, but I guess you gotta do something with those guys. But no, I really feel like they put Reigns in yet another really bad position. He failed again, no matter how many people were out there. He failed again.
Yeah.
Knocked out by the Big Show again.
Yeah, that was the craziest thing. I don't understand. And that was another one that was part of the build-up that I didn't like for WrestleMania, was the fact that right after giving Roman Reigns the decisive win over Daniel Bryan, they put him in a losing spot, and then they rallied and kind of corrected the ship. But now they've gone back to the, let's have him, even though, because I think you even called it on Facebook last night about him, even if he doesn't take the pin, I don't like this.
No, I think we both knew going in that, you know, Ryback was taking the pin, and it was likely going to be Orton. Orton was going to get the match. So I just, why even put Reigns in that position? I mean, make Orton, as much as I wouldn't won't be a huge fan of this match either, but make him beat Big Show and Kane in a handicap match, you know, and then back something like that would be still logical. But
well, or just do something like someone, because who was, oh, they got Dean Ambrose off of Seth Rollins by having Bray Wyatt attack, and they could have some similar thing happen, honestly. Like, I'm not completely sure what Bray Wyatt does at this juncture, even though he's the new face of fear still, somehow, after losing his match fairly decisively.
Yeah, I actually did think that, too. I thought, you know, have Bray Wyatt come out from, pull Reigns out from underneath the ring, you know the big hole in the ring type scenario, do something like that, you know, set Reigns on a feud with someone he can have something of a good match with, maybe somewhat new, because they've at least never had a singles feud before between the two of them. But no, he's gonna be feuding with Big Show, when, you know, maybe Kane, with Ryback, maybe Ryback's his partner, as I speculated. It's just like, you're gonna kill this guy. You're absolutely gonna kill this guy, and he had some momentum, you know. You needed to continue. I don't know who you haven't worked with, but, you know, from Bryan to Lesnar to someone who can continue him on his rise and continue him, not even just his character rise, but continue his improvement in the ring as well. And that's not going to happen here. There could be very well be a regression here.
Yeah, and the WWE is kind of known for this, and it's funny that, in a lot of ways, I guess a lot of people were fearful that he wasn't going to get this treatment. Just because he kind of had the proverbial rocket strapped to his ass. And, he did, but again, like, to me, as an overall whole, if you're going to do that, I don't understand why you don't stick with it. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, he seemed to be living up to the hype. Like, why try and kill that? You know, if he is as good as you think he is, and that he can swim with the sharks, have him do it instead of being half-assed like this. Like, that's what irritates me more than the actual booking.
Right. The thing that maybe worries me is that in Vince McMahon's mind, you know, his, you know, 1985 Vince McMahon's mind, you put Hulk Hogan against Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy. In Vince's mind, putting Reigns against Big Show and Kane is the right way to go to make him look like a monster, to make him a monster killer.
Well, and that was just another funny thing about that show, was that the announcers honestly did not acknowledge the fact that Big Show and Roman Reigns have already feuded. And it was just like, this just happened, guys. Like, 2 months ago just happened. Like, how can you pretend that this didn't just happen? I mean, even the announcers were driving me batty during this whole kind of angle thing going on. Just like...
If it's going to continue, why did he beat him an hour earlier?
Well, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, it made no sense at all. And winning that Andre the Giant Battle Royal trophy is giving Big Show some shine that he hasn't had in a while. I don't think it's necessarily helping him. But
the shine, I think, comes next year when he's defending whoever and anyone, you know, whoever eliminates him and wins it next year. But for now, I don't really see that as adding much to the presentation at all.
I guess I just feel like he's getting booed a little more loudly because of winning that.
Yeah.
And because he went over fan favorite Damian Mizdow, who in and of himself is in a completely terrible storyline, but we can get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind having some type of a pecking order for the authority. And honestly, Kane probably is the most useless more useless than Big Show.
Significantly, yeah.
At least in ring quality and, you know, just sheer size, it helps because you're doing in an even larger man. I mean, Kane is by no means a small person. But when you have two gigantic guys, the bigger of the two is always going to get the top billing.
Right.
So I felt like it kind of gives them some type of hierarchy, and I don't know. It would be nice if they keep on pressing the director of operations angle for Kane and keep him in more of a talking capacity. I don't have a problem with that at all. Like,
no.
He's
no,
better served that way
now. I believe that even more than Big Show, Kane's best days are far, far, far behind him in the ring. he's got, seems to have some mobility issue, even more than the bigger man. He seems to have some mobility issues more than Big Show does. He seems like he's feeling the ears in the ring more than Big Show. I could definitely would rather him in the ring sparingly, if at all. But no, I mean, I have nothing really against Big Show, but since they started him in Reigns back in December, they've just, it's just been done all wrong. The matches are boring. Big Show takes too much of it, takes way too much of them. Reigns sells way too much for big shows, you know, just basic giant offense of, you know, clubbing blows and bear hugs, and it's just no good.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it the first time around. I have no need for it the second time around.
No, and once again, this is what they've got for Roman Reigns, and in the meantime, I mean, I think they've got an ace in the hole for Reigns, because at some point in Rollins' title reign, they have to do the Shield triple threat match. They have to go there. so that will be a good thing. Whether they, you know, I'd assume maybe sometime between now and SummerSlam, if we're just assuming that SummerSlam is Brock.
Right. It'll be a great storyline if they do that. And they're certainly keeping Dean Ambrose viable enough to get into that position.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be, I don't know, I'm sure him and Luke Harper will have some type of, you know, Extreme Rules match at Extreme Rules, and it'll be a good brawl, and, you know, Ambrose will win, and he'll go on to whatever else, such as my triple threat idea, which I'm pretty sure is gonna happen. I mean, I don't think that they would not do that.
Yeah, as long as they have it at Money in the Bank, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if there's anything else to talk about to say how bad that angle is, honestly. Like, I feel like we've covered most of why it's bad.
Yeah, we've covered it.
And
covered it completely. Yeah. So.
And the one guy that I did bring up there, Damian Mizdow. I need to give one Jeremy Mays credit. He wanted credit for giving us the idea to talk about the fact that The Miz and Damian Mizdow had a match already. Like,
yep.
They teased this feud for I don't know how long. And then they don't even wait to have the match at a pay-per-view?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was really weird. I really feel like you can only have the first match once. And I think they, I mean, I'm not even against the finish, I guess, as long as, you know, Mizdow wins the final match in the feud. But just to do the match like this, no. After all these months and months and months of, you know, a build up between these two, nah, it deserved better.
Yeah. Again, like, it's one that you invest that much time in it. Why are you just doing that? And again, The Miz is a character where they obviously feel like he is a commodity, and they like him in the movies for whatever reason. And that was, like, one of my more fun parts of Raw this week, was watching that god-awful commercial for the Marine Corps. And I don't even want to see that match for or that match that movie for train wreck status.
No. I mean, I would absolutely. No, I wouldn't pay for it.
No, I'm not even saying pay for it. Like, I think I took the time just because it was on USA to watch that horrific Christmas movie that he was in.
Oh, that was awful.
Yeah, it was really bad. And I don't.
It's not good.
I don't need to see it. And is Summer Rae okay? Like, I don't think she's going to be some big women's action star.
No, she has none of that. I mean, if anything, they already they screwed it up with her when they took her away from Fandango and they completely de-pushed Fandango. That was she was good in that role, but otherwise, no. There will be no greater movie roles coming her way, I don't believe.
Oh, wow. And this all went back to Damien Mizdow. And that's kind of the other sad thing, is that's more what I think of. Oh, I think that was my point that I was going to try to get to before veering sideways, was just the fact that, you know, The Miz kind of has his spot now. Like, he got lucky, and he got to headline a WrestleMania that I went to. So, good for him. Like, he really got his moment in the sun, but I think that he's kind of in that area where he should be. Because he certainly isn't as athletic as some of these guys that are out there now. And I don't think he makes up for it in ring psychology either.
Yeah, no. He hit a plateau, a higher plateau than maybe most people ever get. I think, you know, compared to the day he dies, about Miz getting that WrestleMania main event. good for him. But yeah, he's in a good role. He's in a perfectly fine role. I got nothing against The Miz in that regard. I actually had nothing against him getting his title run. But, you know, he definitely hit a wall at the top and fell. Maybe he fell too far for a little while, but he's, once again, because of Mizdow, he's rebounded, and they had something here, and it appears to be getting squandered.
Yeah, and I guess that was kind of my point. Like, I agree with you. Like, if they have a blow off match at a pay per view, and that's the way The Miz wins, good deal. You know, you drug it out even longer. And, you know, the bad guy ends up winning, and at least, you know, the good guy looks better in the process.
Right, yeah, but at this rate, at Extreme Rules, they might end up on the pre-show. And that'd be too damn bad.
Yeah, I think both of them deserve better. Like, I don't know what Sandow, Mizdow's ceiling is. I feel like it could be higher than The Miz's. But he hasn't gotten much of a chance, honestly.
No, I mean, I was okay with him not actually winning the Battle Royal, you know, eliminating the Big Show single-handedly. I think that may have been, you know, too high of a scenario for him at this point, but, and maybe something they could build to next year, that he actually does win the Battle Royal next year, who's to say, but he absolutely deserves better than this. This is, it wasn't right the way that him to throw them out in that 10:30 dead spot up against the basketball game, and it was no good. So, but hopefully they can rebound with something. But I don't have high hopes right now.
Well, I guess that's another one where I feel exhausted. There was one thing that I keep on hoping for, and I almost want to go back and watch it. John Cena came out and wrestled Kurt Angle in his first match on TV. I feel like they keep on trying to do that same angle every now and again. And they did it this week with Neville taking on Rollins. Do you think it came off that same way that Angle Cena did? Or was it lacking?
I mean, it was a fine match. It was a good match. Probably the best match on the show. But it didn't have anything beyond that that the whole Angle Cena thing had. The way in its presentation, the performance of the heel. I mean, I love Seth Rollins, but he's no 2002 Kurt Angle. The match wasn't designed to be. It was designed for Neville to be competitive, but not to almost win. But only for the veteran to, you know, be able to, you know, outsmart him, you know, using his experience to outsmart him. It wasn't an extended squash, obviously, but Rollins was never in any danger.
Yeah, I agree with that general assessment. They let him show off some of his moves, and maybe even more than they did last week, even though that was a win. But I don't think it did what they wanted it to. Like I feel like they were trying to go for that, and it just didn't quite get pulled off either.
Yeah, a match like that's gonna need a lot more near falls. Yeah, that's what I'll say. I don't think that I guess I'm trying to remember the match now. You know, it was just last night, but I don't believe that they kept doing, you know, roll up small package. You know, just that kind of. That's what the, you know, how that's what John Cena, you know, made reference to jokes. He was wacky roll up guy.
Oh man.
You know, we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do any of the things like that with Neville. So once again, it was never, you know, we never believed that, you know, he could have won or he almost won. But you know, it's a perfectly fine match. Nothing. A loss of the champion doesn't hurt him.
No, definitely not this early. And it was, it was an enjoyable match, and I think I agree. I'd really have to look through the review to see if there was anything else that was, because almost all the other matches were just there to get to the main event. There were a couple other matches tossed in there. But for the most part, this was the match of the night.
Yeah, I don't really doubt that much. I don't think that I don't think Cena versus Stardust even really came close. I don't think no one buys Stardust. It's an awful gimmick, and it's killing Cody Rhodes' career. And yeah, just no.
Yeah, see, I guess I enjoy the zaniness that is Stardust, but it's another one where it started off as a good idea with Goldust, but I'm not sure that it lasts all that long. It's just like every other Cody Rhodes thing that he does.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that guy has come up with more good 6-month character bits than most people do.
Right. Yeah. I'll go with that. But no, it's this one's running out of juice. It's just he's got nothing. It's just,
well,
there was just no thought. I mean, there was nothing to this match in comparison to the match he had with Ambrose the week before. That once again, the same thing. Like,
no. Yeah.
There was no thought that Stardust was going to win that match.
No, not even a little bit. Yeah, Ambrose is probably going to be about as high up in the food chain as John Cena is going to get with this open challenge thing. It is nice to have him feature some maybe under-featured wrestlers.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with that. And at that point, it is up to the opponent to rise to the occasion, and I don't believe that, you know, Cody Rhodes rose up to the opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. And he's just a known commodity at this point. Like, I like the Ambrose angle just because he's kind of known, but not really known. You know, he hasn't been put in quite that. I mean, he's been in main events, but it's been part of a 6-man tag.
Actually, he got 2 singles main events late last year.
What, the ones against Wyatt?
Yeah, the one against Wyatt and the Hell in a Cell against Rollins.
Oh, yeah, completely forgot about that second one. And that's my bad.
It's all right.
But, oh, where the shit was I going?
I don't know, because the whole Cena Stardust tangent was mine.
It's about being a more known commodity, I guess. Like, Stardust is just, like, he is what he is. Like, he's kind of like The Miz, I guess, in that he kind of has his spot now, and that seems to be it for him.
Yeah, there's...
I don't see, like, him having some untapped potential. Like, again, like, it's... I said the 6-month gimmick, but that's the problem, is that most people who stick around for a long time and become great don't have to do things like that. They may tweak their character and they may turn heel or face, but for the most part, they don't have to do it every 6 months. And if they do, people get pissed off about it if they keep on changing heel to face.
Right, yeah, I think that, yeah, I think whatever, if there was any window of opportunity for Cody Rhodes to be a main event player, it closed a while ago.
Right, so I guess I'd rather see people more in the Dean Ambrose mold challenging John Cena than Cody Rhodes. But it... You know, it wasn't a terrible match, but, you know, I don't know who else I would think to feature off the top of my head. But, you know, I think they could do it. I kind of skimmed through the rest of Raw. Was there... Was there anything else that stuck out to you that is worth talking about? Because I don't really see it. Like, Sheamus, he's back. Mark Henry is one of the easiest wins on the WWE roster for anyone who wants to, you know, move up the ladder or look extra tough.
Right, yeah. That's and that was the whole purpose of that. There's really nothing much to say there. Or nothing much really to say about the rest of Raw, other than how excited you are about the upcoming Divas Battle Royal next week.
Oh, I cannot wait. I love Battle Royals to start with. I love them even more when the people have to get thrown through the middle rope or the bottom rope. I do understand that they are shorter of stature. So, at least just go with the middle rope, please. I think you could still execute the whole over-the-top rope thing. To be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I shouldn't say it with half that Divas roster that they wouldn't kill themselves if they went over the top rope, but
you know, I'm not sure why Kane is
thinning the herd.
I'm not sure why Kane was talked into that, honestly. Like, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. They have no power over him. And Naomi hasn't really gotten in the authorities' way. I mean, the Usos kind of were involved at one point a while ago. But they've really downplayed their part in any anti-authority shenanigans.
Right, yeah. There's no reason that Naomi has to win a battle royal after beating the champion twice. I don't get it at all. I know there's people who are pushing for the NXT girls to be involved in this. I'm like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Unless they're changing course and giving Charlotte the battle royal win and just going right for the title, but no, they do not just end up in a battle royal to lose. That's ridiculously stupid.
Yeah. Well, I can think of one thing that was ridiculously stupid. And that was John Cena's shirt that he was wearing while he was being interviewed by Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah, that was quite the shirt.
I told the aforementioned Mr. Mays that I wanted to firebomb his prospective new house simply because they had that sign up in said house being sold. the shirt was Keep Calm and Chive On, and I can't believe people pay money to wear that shirt. Like, it completely boggles my mind.
Yeah, that's just I don't even get it. The only thing I know about that is the Chive is this. Is the website where people post photos of other people. I don't think that was the reference, so I don't even know what a chive is otherwise.
I just think about the garnish / herb that is chive. I have some growing in my backyard currently. Right. And it's tasty with potatoes. But I just don't get it. I haven't cared to try and get it because it's just annoying without me even knowing what it's about. But outside of that terrible shirt, the interview itself, it was a lot of fun. Like, Jericho certainly has a lighter touch than, say, Steve Austin does during his podcasts.
Yeah, I think that, I do think that, Jericho's touch worked better, especially with this subject that he was interviewing. I think in this case, I don't think that you want John Cena getting anything controversial. So it's just let's keep it to road stories. Let's keep it to, you know, wrestling philosophy, thoughts on the future. I thought the things that he said about, you know, his feud with The Rock were very interesting, and actually got a response from The Rock on Twitter.
What was the response from The Rock?
It was something about how, you know, you caught me with the you caught me with my cheat sheet on my hand. You win, John. Again.
I thought that was kind of interesting, really, because John didn't catch him. John even admitted that, was it Jimmy Corderas was the one to point out to him that The Rock was doing that?
Yeah.
Because at least I know that Cena gave someone credit. If it wasn't Corderas, he did say that someone in the back he was watching with pointed it out to him. So that is kind of funny that he didn't actually catch it. And it's good of him to give someone else credit since he didn't really do it. Because, I mean, that's a hell of a slam to go with. Like, he's still got to gin up the testicular fortitude.
Yeah, that was the gas moment in the build up where you thought, "Whoa, these two really don't like each other." But of course, for everyone but Wade Keller, that passed.
Oh, they still don't like each other?
No.
According to him,
we still believe that the whole thing was a shoot or something.
That's what Cena seems to be saying, honestly, is that it was a little bit of a shoot, but honestly, it seemed like by the time the second match came around, they at least had an understanding.
Yeah, and there's also a reason why that second match just didn't have the same feeling as the first, too. The tension between them absolutely, you know, made that first match. And the second one, which again, it was still Rock Cena, I mean, obviously. But it absolutely did not match the first.
Right. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of what else was just really that interesting. I just like, because he comes across this way on Total Divas, too. Like, I like John Cena not in the ring. And I almost found it offensive in some ways that he feels like the only thing he can do is the poop jokes to be different.
I'm not necessarily sure that's exactly what he said, but... I mean, he had to defend it somehow, and he was absolutely right about, why do you people want me to turn heel? So you can cheer me?
I don't feel like I've really called for him to become a bait or a heel as often as some other people. Of course, I haven't been as offended by him either in general during his run as some people on the internet. You know, he just, I guess he is what he is, you know?
Yeah.
I that's why when he says the stuff that he does about being fine with being booed, I just go, yeah, he really seems like he's fine with being booed.
Yeah, I mean, and at this point, him being booed, it's as much part of the show as anything else. It's more that than any real visceral hatred for the audience, I think, at this point. I mean, we're at the point where, and if you listen closely enough, you can hear the same voices chanting, "Let's go, Cena," and "Cena sucks."
Oh, And I mentioned that a long time ago when I went to a live show. Well, I actually did it myself just to be stupid.
Yeah, I did it at WrestleMania as well, yeah.
But I see other people doing it too. Yeah, they just kind of want to be involved in the show, and that's the way to do it, is to just create your own trouble. And that's fine, you know, and he even said it, like, he doesn't think that there's going to be anyone that needs to be the face, and that it can be more of a group effort. I think someone like him will come along again. I mean, it really could be Reigns if they build him up correctly at some juncture. But, you know, that's all up to the WWE and how good of a talent they bring in.
Right, yeah, I mean, you can't turn Cena heel until you've got the new Cena. It's as simple as that.
Well, and I don't know if he just really even needs to be heel. Like, he acted heelish enough in it when he was fighting The Rock, especially the first time. And his fans didn't turn against him. So why are they going to do it now? Like, there isn't any reason to do it now. Or even if he turned heel, like, I just feel like his fans would still support him. And it doesn't sound like it's really even in the works from the way he was talking either.
No. At this point, no. You don't do it, although I did think it was probably the biggest revelation was that it was talked about during the Rock feud, and Cena went to pretty extraordinary lengths to prepare for it, even if it was nowhere near set in stone.
Yeah, well, I think that covers that one, too. And there was one story that I just had to have us get to. Just because it involves everyone's favorite still-alive crazy man, Scott Steiner. And you brought this to my attention. yeah, he had been too quiet for too long, but yeah, he came through in a big way.
Yeah, I guess it's somewhat amusing, but I mean, if you put yourself in, you know, if that's your wife, you know, in that regard, I don't really think that's a find it as funny as a lot of people do. I really feel like that was a really despicable thing to do. I mean, for goodness sakes, just wait for Hogan, for goodness. At that point, funny if two old men are rolling around on an airport floor, but when you're threatening the man's wife, that's taking it too far. You leave the wife and kids out of it.
Well, and especially since if it was Linda Hogan and she knows Scott Steiner.
Just put her in the Steiner recliner in the middle of the
you know, at least she would know what it's about. I'm going to guess that, isn't his new wife a good chunk younger than him?
Yeah, she's a good chunk younger than him.
She probably was not a lifelong wrestling fan. Probably has no effing clue who Scott Steiner is.
No, she did not recognize him. No, that's the one thing that's what all our articles are pointing out, that she didn't know who this man was who was coming up to her, and supposedly he grabbed her, which means, you know, he did touch her, which is, you know, completely, you know, I was kind of a little, you know, disappointed today in some people, you know, just kind of brushing that part off and making jokes about this whole thing. I really feel like, no, that's, you know, that's someone's wife. You do not put your hands on another man's wife like that. That happened 10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm okay with making the making the jokes all along. Also saying, this is completely and utterly wrong to do.
Yeah,
in every way possible. Because just the article, the article itself just cracked me up. Just saying, okay, you've got to realize that what is okay in a wrestling ring or in a wrestling environment is not okay in civilized society.
Yeah, I that's the thing. It's just like, he's been so quiet. I mean, he made, you know, he was in Waterloo, or many of our mutual friends met him and shook his hand, and he was supposedly a perfect gentleman. Like, it's been known for years that Hogan was a sore spot for him. I'm not even sure exactly why.
Yeah. That is something that I haven't bothered to look into. They were in a team together for at least a decent chunk of time. I feel like Big Papa Pump was in the NWO for a while.
Yeah, he was in the NWO for a while, and I think, I don't remember. See, and this is where about 5 years of TNA all jumbles together. I don't remember how long Scott Steiner stuck around after Hogan came in, or if they were in Immortal together or anything like that. I don't remember. I don't remember if maybe Hogan was the reason Scott Steiner got released from TNA or something. I don't know.
Oh, and who gives a crap? I mean, I guess it might have been some money, but good Lord.
Yeah, but
if you have any pride whatsoever, you are completely fine with the fact that somebody got you out of TNA. You should be thanking that person for the rest of your life. Thank you, Hogan, for getting me to leave TNA. It was the best thing that ever happened.
Right, but yeah, I mean the whole thing of, you know, I mean, I guess this is where it does get a little funny about, you know, how, you know, Scott Steiner's picture circulating at the Hall of Fame and all WrestleMania weekend, security having to keep him out, and Scotty.
Yeah, and I mean, again, deservedly so.
Right,
of course. You cannot make that threat and expect to get in there. Like, it shows you that some of that crazy that comes across and is enjoyable in his promos is for realsies.
Yeah, and the thing is, coming from Scott Steiner, that is people do not take that as an empty threat. There are people who do believe that he could be capable of murder.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. I'm not sure that he's a terrorist, as that they were saying. I guess I reserve.
I know that's just some semantics with the charges that they had to be filed and.
Yeah.
Report, but and the fact that and the quote from Steiner to TMZ about, you know, typical Hogan, he's just a punk. Like, you still don't get this, do you?
I didn't hear that quote, and no, he doesn't. He's completely crazy. So,
yeah, the man is out of his mind, and you know, it kind of proves that, you know, shows that, you know, as much as we can laugh about him, the man does have some serious issues, and if crossed, he is an absolutely dangerous man.
Yeah, which is why I'm glad to have never crossed him. I don't need to cross him. I will sit and look at a distance and enjoy the craziness. Because I enjoy some craziness every now and again. I'll say it. So, you know, I believe that's about it, unless there's any other small stories that you have in store.
I think we really need to hit right now.
Okie dokie. Well, I just got done watching ROH. I'm completely caught up on my wrestling now after a long weekend. You can hit you up on at CM Calamedia.
No. I changed this again.
Oh, he changes it, of course.
We're good this time. It's simply just at Chris Calamedia.
Ah. So, there we go. And, still, DeFrango11, still at Stunt Granny. I already tweeted and Instagrammed a picture of the Sly Fox Phoenix Pale Ale that I am drinking as part of National Beer Day. So, grandkids, I hope you enjoyed a good beer for yourself, and I'm out of here.
See ya.